You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message written on parchment paper, in the bottom of an old trunk, buried 36 paces north of Santa's oak tree.
Hi, this is David calling from California. This is kind of a factual emergency. What do I do with all my pennies? In the past, I've collected them all and then just buried them in the ground. And then that actually leads me to other questions I have about buried treasure. So if I were to find treasure, would I have to pay taxes on it? How would I claim it? If I brought it to the bank, what would happen? They're going to be like, where did you get this? I'm like, it's treasure. This is all hypothetical, of course. I have no said found treasure. Thanks.
Look who I found.
Hi.
Hey, David. Thanks for coming into the studio.
Of course, yeah.
You came to us with a treasure trove of questions. Let's start with your first one. What to do with your pennies? Did you bring them?
I did bring my pennies.
It's a large Ziploc bag.
It is a large Ziploc bag. It's about 10 pounds. But you should feel it. It weighs heavier than you think 10 pounds, at least in my mind.
Oh, my God. I'm having trouble holding it with one hand.
That's worth about, I think, $9.
David, there is a solution. Have you heard of a Coinstar?
I have, but I'd say service fees are my number one enemy at this point. 8% is robbery.
Your life must be hard.
It is. I will drive to a venue to buy tickets to avoid the service fee. I did this a couple weeks back, and they still had a service fee. And I was like, excuse me, what's this, $4? They're like, that's the service fee. I was like, yeah, but I drove here. I did the service.
Okay, so you will go to great lengths to save money, but it also seems like you'll go to great lengths to lose money. Like you said in your message that you buried your last penny collection. Why?
So, I want to live in a world filled with mystery, right? I want to live in a world with treasure and maps and dirt and shovels. So I guess that's why I bury it. Why did I bury it? Because I wanted somebody to have to dig it up. It's Gandhi that said, be the change you wish to see in the world. I used my change to do that.
Bury the change you don't wish to see.
That's perfect.
But Dave, you also called with questions about real treasure. So what do you want to know?
So I was imagining if I was the lucky person to find any treasure, imagine if it wasn't 20 pounds of pennies, but it's 20 pounds of gold. Then what? What do you do with it? How do you bring it to your bank? Are there people who are actual treasure hunters still to this day? What do their tax forms look like? What do you do?
What do their tax forms look like? Way to take the sexiest topic and bring in tax forms.
Well, it is that time of year.
Well, I think we found someone who can dig up some answers for you.
Hi, David. How are you?
His name is David, too.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. David McCarthy.
Hi, David.
To prevent confusion, we'll call him by his nickname.
Friends of mine call me Coin Monkey.
He makes a living curating monkey coin collections.
What is a monkey coin collection?
I'm just kidding.
I am a numismatist, which is someone who studies, buys, and sells rare coins.
Do people have a hard time pronouncing numismatist?
Numismatist. Exactly.
David Coin Monkey works for a company called Kagan's in California. It's been around for almost 90 years, and their website says, numismatics is not just a business to us, but a passion and a way of life.
Wow.
The first thing he wanted you to know is that a penny does not exist.
What?
Didn't you want mystery in your life?
I mean, I have 10 pounds of pennies with me right now. I'm pretty certain they do exist.
No.
There is no such thing as a penny made by the United States. They're actually cents.
A cent. It does say 1 cent on there.
Yes. Pennies are British. We just co-opted the word. And the OG pennies were not the most convenient coin. 12 made a shilling, 240 made a pound, which made for a lot of fun math at the wig shop.
I mean, imagine going into a store and buying something and needing to get your change back and having to divide by 8 and by 12 in order to figure out how much money they owed you back.
I can barely follow the sentence, let alone do the math.
Same here. So something we did here in the United States is we started using coinage where the math is based on 10. So the cent is 1/100th of the basic unit, which is the dollar.
Well, it's good to know we don't have to divide things by 8 anymore.
Yes, there's a reason to treasure the cent. Speaking of, let's get to the booty of this call. What happens when you find buried treasure?
Right.
So David CoinMonkey can tell us about this too. He's encountered lots of real life treasure. Shipwreck treasure.
What?
Spanish treasure. Gold bars.
Whoa.
But there's only one buried treasure that changed his life.
The best story from my perspective is Saddle Ridge.
Saddle Ridge.
The Saddle Ridge hoard was the largest buried treasure ever found in North America.
Whoa.
David CoinMonkey got to hold the Saddle Ridge treasure in his paws, and I think his story answers a lot of your questions about buried treasure.
Okay.
Are you ready to dig in?
I'm so ready.
Okay, this story begins on a perfectly ordinary April day. David CoinMonkey is sitting at his desk when the phone rings. It's a lawyer.
And he had a question. He said, you know, I've got a client. They've found some coins, and I want to know what to do. And I said, well, what sort of coins? And he said, well, I can't really say that. And I said, well, where did they find them? Well, I can't really say that.
The attorney said nothing else could happen until David signed a non-disclosure agreement.
And I was really curious at this point, so I agreed to sign the NDA. And we made an appointment for a Monday morning. Got to the office early, brewed some coffee. The attorney arrived. Actually, two attorneys and one member of the family arrived. I invited them into the office. Basically, a big conference table surrounded by bookcases.
David CoinMonkey wouldn't tell us anything about the family.
Remember, I signed an NDA. I can tell you that the family member had this really curious box. It was about the size of a cigar box, and it was obviously new, and it was obviously handmade by someone. And the family member placed the box on the table and slid it across to me, and I opened up the top, and then things got interesting.
What's in the box?
Inside the box. Should we take a break?
Is this where we talk about mattresses?
No, we really are taking a break. When we come back, what's in that box? So David CoinMonkey is sitting at a conference table with a mystery box. He opens it up, and inside the box was a glimmer of gold.
And you could see, you know, kind of sticking out from underneath that there were gold coins in there. And the gold coins were all sort of covered in dirt and rust and clearly had come out of the ground. You could see little bits of the coin through the dirt. And what I was looking at through the dirt, it looked perfect. It looked like it was brand new right off the dies. It looked the way we want the surface of a coin to look.
Okay, when you had it in your hand, how did you respond?
So the experience from my perspective was like time slowed down. And then I thought, okay, what do I do now? And the first thing I said was, well, you know, how many coins did you find? And they sort of whispered to one another. And the family member said, well, it was a little over 1,400. And time stopped.
1,400, mint condition, extremely rare, solid gold coins.
Whoa.
So David CoinMonkey is looking at the treasure of his career, and he's dying to know, how did the family find these coins?
That's the biggest question, I guess.
David CoinMonkey signed an NDA, as he's reminded us many times, but basically on one redacted day, the family was out walking their mystery breed dog in the undisclosed location of their backyard when they saw the tip of an old can sticking out of the ground.
Pick the can up. It's really heavy. The top pops off. There's a gold coin sticking out of the top. They dig up 7 more cans full of gold coins.
David, do you want to see a picture of the coins?
Yeah.
And for everyone else, we will put it on our Instagram at ELT Show.
Wow, it's actually, I'm amazed. The coins look like they're in better condition than I was imagining.
I know, they're so shiny.
They're so shiny.
Can you imagine you like pry it open and you're like, what?
You're like, my eyes, like it hits the sun.
At the moment that they discovered this stuff, standing there, one of them said to me, like a chill went down my spine, and all I could imagine was the person who buried this stuff looking over my shoulder with a gun. It was kind of a terrifying experience in one way. And then, you know, there was a lot of excitement. And then there was this, well, what do we do now? Because they realized that, you know, you can't just bring this stuff down to your local bank and throw it in a safe deposit box.
A safe deposit box is not even safe.
Just bringing it to a bank isn't safe. You know, they needed to come up with a plan. But while they came up with a plan, they had to figure out what to do with the coins, and they couldn't just have them out in their house. So what do you do? Well, you know, they took a hint from the person who put them in the ground in the first place. So they took a cooler, put them in the cooler, moved their wood pile, dug up under the wood pile, put it in there, buried it, put the wood back on top, and started trying to figure out what to do with the windfall.
They buried their buried treasure.
They buried their buried treasure.
And so who buried the coins?
That's a mystery. And, you know, it's a mystery that's unlikely to ever be solved.
What's your theory?
You know, I mean, I think it was someone who was involved somehow with prospecting for gold.
So after they reburied their buried treasure, they got a lawyer who got a lawyer who got an NDA.
I guess I don't understand why they needed this whole setup in the first place. Did they have to do a non-disclosure agreement because there's some things that maybe the IRS would not be so happy to hear about?
You think this is a tax scam?
Something like that. Yeah.
No.
They didn't want to go public because they didn't want to deal with people showing up on their property with shovels and shotguns.
Yeah, that's smart.
David said they didn't even tell their friends or family.
That would be the worst part about it.
What do you mean?
I mean, you have uncovered the most valuable treasure ever found in North America, and the only people you can talk to about it are lawyers.
It's a nightmare.
That sounds horrible.
You know who it wasn't horrible for? David Coin Monkey. For him, it was more like a dream come true.
Oh, it felt like winning the lottery.
Which brings us back to his office on that Monday morning. The family and their lawyers were coming to David for expert help with conserving, appraising, and selling the coins.
And I'm thinking, this could be the deal I think about for the rest of my life. I can't mess this up. And so I basically took a deep breath and then explained to the family what I would do if it were me, or what I would do if the material had been found by someone I really cared about.
So do you want to know what 2018's Numismatist of the Year told the finders of the greatest buried treasure in American history?
Absolutely, yeah.
Step one, don't clean any of the gunk off.
Generally speaking, people who've found coins that have that stuff on them go to town and clean them. And strip all that stuff off, and in the process, absolutely destroy the coins. And so I said, you know, the first thing you need to do is you need to get the material properly conserved.
Step two, if you want to get top treasure dollar, make sure you come with a good story to tell.
I explained to them, you know, the stuff that you have here has a value to coin collectors, but the real value that we can take advantage of here is in telling the story of a buried treasure, because that's something that everyone, I don't care who it is, everyone at some point has thought about buried treasure.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I mean, I think it's one of the great stories, you know, whether it's Treasure Island or I guess the Holy Grail to some extent, there's a quest element to finding buried treasure. And of course, it's like winning the lottery if God is the one handing out the lottery tickets.
Right. So it's about good fortune and it's about mystery.
Yeah. Those are my two favorite things. I don't know about you.
So that was the plan. Market the hell out of this treasure with a good story. As soon as they told the media, the story got picked up by major news outlets all across the world.
A California couple struck gold whilst out walking their dog. They discovered a treasure trove of more than 1,400
coins next to a tree on their property in an undisclosed location a year ago.
These rare coins date back to the mid to late 1800s.
The couple are choosing to remain anonymous, in part to avoid...
Why so many secrets? The couple doesn't want to be bombarded with prospectors.
A whole bunch of big magazines begged for interviews. 60 Minutes wanted to fly them out to New York City and said that they'd, you know, we'll blank out your faces and we'll disguise your voices. And there was just absolutely no interest on their part.
Well, I mean, you know, if they change their mind, 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
The family auctioned some of the coins and put some on Amazon.
They did not. They put them on Amazon?
They did.
Most people are really used to using Amazon, and they'd never really sold any coins, and they kind of put together a completely new space for us. You know, more than half of the coins sold in a couple of days.
What was the total sale value? How much did they make?
Somewhere between $8 and $10 million, I think, is the final value of everything.
And what if they had cleaned those coins, or if there had been no story? Do you think, can you approximate what the value would have been without?
Yeah, probably $2.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
So now they have this $10 million. How do they file that?
I love your fascination with the tax element.
Yeah.
It's so surprising.
Right, because taxes are like the original service fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We asked, you pay regular income tax.
Okay.
Okay, so that answers your question of what to do if and when you strike booty. But let's get back to your first question of what to do with your booty, your pennies. David, we have a plan for them.
Okay, this is what I'm really excited about.
We're going to help you hide micro treasures all over the country.
Really?
Your eyes literally widened.
I'm all in. What are we going to do?
We're going to turn your pennies into cash, $5 bills, put those bills into wax sealed envelopes with a mysterious note, and then we're going to send these envelopes to listeners across the country and ask them to hide them for us and record themselves doing it. And you and I are going to hide some envelopes too.
You're like in the bathroom and you're unrolling the toilet paper and it like falls out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have your cents ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we got to take this to the bank.
Oh, man.
Because we got to turn this into cash.
Okay.
But there's a bank right here at Gimlet.
Is there?
Yeah, it's right down the hall.
Oh, sweet.
And the exchange rate is really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
After the break, a transaction at Gimlet's seldom visited Second Citywide Change Bank, and then we hit the streets to hide crisp Lincolns.
You may come in. You may come in.
Please, sir.
Is this the bank?
Good. I'll be with you with one moment.
Oh, sorry.
You were saying?
I promise I'll have the money for you on Tuesday, Mr. Dodo Toe.
See that you do, Mrs. Thornback. See that you do.
Thank you, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Second Citywide Change Bank.
Thank you.
My name's Dave Dodo Toe.
Another David in the story.
I'm head of coin ops here. What can I do for you today?
I have this bag of cents that I would like to turn into cash.
Well, you've come to the right place. How many rolls do you have?
It's not in a roll. It's in one large bag.
I see. Well, here at Second Citywide Change Bank,
yeah,
we only deal in seesaw bucks.
Seesaw bucks.
Mm-hmm. Good old-fashioned American $5 bills.
Oh.
So let's see if my calculation's correct. And they almost sometimes are. It seems here that that's going to come to exactly $100.
Wow, sweet.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40.
$100. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, we're set.
Okay, let's go hide these tiny treasures.
All right, should we do the subway?
Yeah, so I'm thinking in the little slot where you get like a receipt.
Okay, it's right over here. Okay, here we are. You want to put one in each machine?
Okay, yes.
It looks very natural.
Now we just walk away?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We'll come back and check it in a little bit. While we wait, let's check in with our listeners who are hiding these cash-filled envelopes across the country for us.
I have my envelope with the $5 bill in it. I'm currently in the Salt Lake City International Airport.
I am in New York City.
Mississippi.
Illinois.
Newport, Oregon.
Denver, Colorado.
Washington, D.C. I am cruising on down to the National Mall to leave this clue national treasure style. It's a beautiful day here. It's about 83 degrees.
Okay, I am just about to go into the theater, and I'm going to go in and hide my little envelope in the lobby.
So I'm walking through D-Gate, and I think I'm going to try and hide it in a seat.
I am going to casually leave this envelope on a bench over here and then go...
I just planted my treasure hunt surprise on a car. So now I've moved in the parking lot to see what happens.
No one's in the library, so I doubt they'll find it right now. There's some Hemingway. Tolstoy. Let's see. Hey. No, I'm good. I'm just looking at some books.
All right.
Appreciate it. Get me caught by the librarian. All right, I'm going to put it over here. The Astonishing Color of After. Let's go in that book. All right.
The funny thing about hiding something in New York City is that you can hide something in plain sight. Because here, people will walk by something 20 times before they even notice it.
Okay, here she comes. I saw the lights flash on her car, so I think, here she comes. Oh, she sees it. Oh, she's going to pick it up. She got the car. Did she throw it on the ground? No, she took it with her. Okay, good. I hope it brings her good luck.
Looks like he's coming back to look at it. And yes! Sorry, I picked it up. Woo-hoo. It's okay. He's walking off while he's walking his dog. He just took his dog from the dog park and yay, we got a winner!
Should we check on our subway treasure?
They're both gone.
They're both gone.
Yay.
It's cool to think that like two human beings at like a subway stop put their hand in the MTA portal and
yeah,
something good happened.
Or maybe the person went into one, took it out, and was like, okay, and now they're running around to every subway station reaching in.
Thanks for going on this adventure.
Yeah, thanks for taking me.
Okay, listeners, before we go, we are looking for your questions about air travel. What do you want to know before you board that Greyhound in the sky? We've got some airline professionals on standby, ready to spill the salted peanuts about life at cruising altitude. please take a moment to turn your mobile device on and give us a call with your air travel questions. 833-RING-ELT. That's 833-RING-ELT. And thank you to all of our treasure hiders, Kurt from our cheese episode, Rachel and Travis from the pumpkin spice episode, Nikki and Vicky from Cleanspiracies, Elizabeth from Stamps, Kimberly from TSA, and Robert from Organs and Baseball.
Every Little Thing is produced by Aaron Reese, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Special thanks to Michelle Dang, Matilde Urfolino, Nabil Chalampot, and Devin Taylor. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. Numismatist. Goodbye.